A great many black names today are unique to blacks. More than 40% of the black girls born in California in a given year receive a name that not one of the roughly 100,000 baby white girls received that year. Even more remarkably, nearly 30% of the black girls are given a name that is unique among every baby, white and black, born that year in California. There were also 228 babies named unique during the 1990s alone. Even among very popular black names, there is little overlap with whites. Of the 626 baby girls named Deja in the 1990s, 591 were black. Of the 454 girls named Precious, 431 were black. Of the 318 Shanices, 310 were black. What kind of parent is most likely to give a child such a distinctively black name? The data offer a clear answer. An unmarried, low-income, undereducated teenage mother from a black neighborhood who has a distinctively black name herself. In Roland Fryer's view, giving a child a super black name is a black parent's signal of solidarity with the community. If I start naming my kid Madison, he says, you might think, oh, you want to go live across the railroad tracks, don't you? If black kids who study calculus and ballet are thought to be acting white, Fryer says, then mothers who call their babies Shanice are simply acting black. The California study shows that many white parents send as strong a signal in the opposite direction. More than 40% of the white babies are given names that are at least four times more common among whites. Consider Connor and Cody, Emily and Abigail. In one recent 10-year stretch, each of these names was given to at least 2,000 babies in California, fewer than 2% of them black. So, what are the whitest names and the blackest names? Here are the 20 whitest girl names. Molly, Amy, Claire, Emily, Katie, Madeline, Caitlin, Emma, Abigail, Carly, Jenna, Heather, Catherine, Caitlin, another spelling, Caitlin, a third spelling, Holly, Allison, fourth Caitlin, Hannah, and another spelling of Catherine. Now, the 20 blackest girl names. Imani, Ebony, Shanice, Aaliyah, Precious, Nia, Deja, Diamond, Asia, another Aaliyah, Jada, Tiara, Tiara, Kiara, Jasmine, another Jasmine, a third spelling of Jasmine, a fourth spelling of Jasmine, Alexis, and Raven. Now, the 20 whitest boy names. Jake, Connor, Tanner, Wyatt, Cody, Dustin, Luke, Jack, Scott, Logan, Cole, Lucas, Bradley, Jacob, Garrett, Dylan, Maxwell, Hunter, Brett, and Colin. And now, the 20 blackest boy names. Deshaun, DeAndre, Marcus, Darnell, Terrell, Malik, Trevin, Tyrone, Willie, Dominique, Demetrius, Reginald, Jamal, Maurice, Jalen, Darius, Xavier, Terrence, Andre, and Daryl. So, how does it matter if you have a very white name or a very black name? Over the years, a series of audit studies have tried to measure how people perceive different names. In a typical audit study, a researcher would send two identical and fake resumes, one with a traditionally white name and the other with an immigrant or minority-sounding name, to potential employers. The white resumes have always gleaned more job interviews. According to such a study, if Deshaun Williams and Jake Williams sent identical resumes to the same employer, Jake Williams would be more likely to get a callback. The implication is that black-sounding names carry an economic penalty. Such studies are tantalizing but severely limited, for they can't explain why Deshaun didn't get the call. Was he rejected because the employer is a racist and he's convinced that Deshaun Williams is black? Or did he reject him because Deshaun sounds like someone from a low-income, low-education family? A resume is a fairly undependable set of clues. A recent study showed that more than 50% of them contain lies. So Deshaun may simply signal a disadvantaged background to an employer who believes that workers from such backgrounds are undependable. Nor do the black-white audit studies predict what might have happened in a job interview. What if the employer is racist, and if he unwittingly agreed to interview a black person who happened to have a white-sounding name, would he be any more likely to hire the black applicant after meeting face-to-face? Or is the interview a painful and discouraging waste of time for the black applicant, that is, an economic penalty for having a white-sounding name? Along those same lines, perhaps a black person with a white name pays an economic penalty in the black community. And what of the potential advantage to be gained in the black community by having a distinctively black name? But because the audit studies can't measure the actual life outcomes of the fictitious Deshaun Williams versus Jake Williams, they can't assess the broader impact of a distinctively black name. Maybe Deshaun should just change his name. People do this all the time, of course. The clerks in New York City's civil court recently reported that name changes are at an all-time high. Some of the changes are purely, if bizarrely, aesthetic. A young couple named Natalie Jeremijenko and Dalton Conley recently renamed their 4-year-old son Yo, Zing, Heino, Augustus, Eisner, Alexander, Weiser, Knuckles, Jeremijenko Conley. Some people change names for economic purposes. After a New York livery cab driver named Michael Goldberg was shot in early 2004, it was reported that Mr. Goldberg was, in fact, an Indian-born Sikh who thought it advantageous to take a Jewish name upon immigrating to New York. Goldberg's decision might have puzzled some people in show business circles, where it is a time-honored tradition to change Jewish names. Thus did Isor Danielovich become Kirk Douglas. Thus did the William Morris Agency rise to prominence under its namesake, the former Zelman Moses. The question is, would Zelman Moses have done as well had he not become William Morris? And would Deshaun Williams do any better if he called himself Jake Williams or Connor Williams? It's tempting to think so, just as it is tempting to think that a truckload of children's books will make a child smarter. Though the audit studies can't be used to truly measure how much a name matters, the California names data can. How? The California data included not only each baby's vital statistics, but information about the mother's level of education, income, and most significantly, her own date of birth. This last fact made it possible to identify the hundreds of thousands of California mothers who had themselves been born in California, and then to link them to their own birth records. Now, a new and extremely potent story emerged from the data. It was possible to track the life outcome of any individual woman. This is the sort of data chain that researchers dream about, making it possible to identify a set of children who were born under similar circumstances, then locate them again 20 or 30 years later to see how they turned out. Among the hundreds of thousands of such women in the California data, many bore distinctively black names, and many others did not. Using regression analysis to control for other factors that might influence life trajectories, it was then possible to measure the impact of a single factor, in this case, a woman's first name, on her educational, income, and health outcomes. So, does a name matter? The data show that, on average, a person with a distinctively black name, whether it's a woman named Imani or a man named Deshaun, does have a worse life outcome than a woman named Molly or a man named Jake. But it isn't the fault of their names. If two black boys, Jake Williams and Deshaun Williams, are born in the same neighborhood and into the same familial and economic circumstances, they would likely have similar life outcomes. But the kind of parents who name their son Jake don't tend to live in the same neighborhoods or share economic circumstances with the kind of parents who name their son Deshaun. And that's why, on average, a boy named Jake will tend to earn more money and get more education than a boy named Deshaun. A Deshaun is more likely to have been handicapped by a low-income, low-education, single-parent background. His name is an indicator, not a cause, of his outcome. Just as a child with no books in his home isn't likely to test well in school, a boy named Deshaun isn't likely to do as well in life. And what if Deshaun had changed his name to Jake or Connor? Would his situation improve? Here's a guess. Anybody who bothers to change his name in the name of economic success is, like the high school freshman in Chicago who entered the school choice lottery, at least highly motivated. And motivation is probably a stronger indicator of success than, well, a name.